purposely not recite any parts? And he said, yes, indeed, Rasulullah. And he narrated, he collected all those points and he presented to Rasulullah. And Rasulullah at that time got upset with his companions and he said, what is your state, O my companions, that the Book of Allah is recited upon you and you're not aware and you're not focused on what words are being recited and what words have been lost from that recitation? And he said the people, the Banu Israel, were likewise, they actually perished because of this attitude of theirs, that their bodies were present at the time of recitation, but their hearts were absent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the salah of a servant who prays without the presence of the heart. So again, indeed, we find that Rasulullah in this seerah, obviously this salah, we realize it was probably a test, not really the proper salah, otherwise Rasulullah would not necessarily pray in such a way. But he tested his companions through reciting salah and the different aspects of the salah in a way that he purposely left out aspects of it for the purpose of evaluating the focus and attention of the companions when it came to salah. And this clearly showed, as adults, not only the companions were not focused, they did not even realize that there were aspects of the Quran that were left out. Likewise, Rasulullah and the other infallible imams would take the time and evaluate the salah of their companions, such as Imam al-Sadiq as well. In one of the narrations we find, he asked his companion, a very close companion, Hammad, to stand and pray salah. He asked him, can you pray a good 2 rakat salah? Can you pray salah properly? Can you pray salah well? He said, I know the book of salah, which has all the details of the salah by heart. I have memorized it. And that is when Imam asked him to stand and pray. And when he completed his prayer, Imam told him, Hammad, you cannot pray a salah properly. And he said, it is very inappropriate for a Muslim that he should reach the age of 60 to 70 and not be able to pray salat with its perfect etiquettes and conditions. And this is when Hammad asked Imam to teach him how to pray the salat with full etiquette. I hope you enjoy today's discussion. Until next time, fi amanillah, under God's protection.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
In the US, a cousin of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors was killed by Los Angeles police after he got in a traffic accident and police officers who showed up repeatedly tased and restrained him in the middle of the street. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Website of National Public Radio, npr.org, has covered this story and tells us more. A cousin of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors died after Los Angeles police repeatedly tased him in the middle of the street last week, according to police body camera footage and his family's account. Keenan Anderson, a 31-year-old high school teacher and father, was trying to get help after a traffic collision when he was chased, held down by multiple police officers and tased for over 90 seconds as he begged for help. Keenan Anderson's death, one of three fatalities stemming from the Los Angeles Police Department's use of force already this year, is sparking fresh calls for police reform in a city that's long been calling for racial justice. "I've been challenging law enforcement for the last 22 years, but I've never had someone this close in my family be killed by the police," Patrice Cullors told National Public Radio. "It's a devastating reality that any one of us could be impacted by the crisis that is the U.S. police system," she added. "We have to do something." The Los Angeles Police Department released edited body camera footage for all three of the deaths on Wednesday, 11th of January. Los Angeles Police Chief Michael Moore said they'd foregone the usual 45-day window for keeping the video private due to intense public interest. According to the accompanying police statement, the Los Angeles Police Department officer, whose name has not yet been released, first encountered Keenan Anderson at 3:38 p.m. on Tuesday, 3rd of January, when Anderson flagged him down to help with a traffic collision. The officer found Anderson running in the middle of the street and exhibiting erratic behavior, the account reads. Patrice Cullors, who watched the video with family just hours before its public release, says she recognizes a sense of fear on her cousin's face. "When you get in a car accident, your body is in shock," she said. "I don't know what my cousin was going through emotionally and mentally, but what I do know is that he got in a car accident. That's scary. And when you get in a car accident, you need help." Others involved in the collision said Anderson had caused it. LAPD Police Chief Moore said during a news conference on Wednesday, 11th of January. LAPD Police Chief Moore also said that Anderson had committed a felony hit and run, and that another person involved in the collision said Anderson tried to steal a vehicle. The released video footage starts with the responding police officer ordering Anderson to get out of the street and up against the wall. Anderson, looking back at the scene of the accident, initially kneels with his hands up, shouting, "I didn't mean to, I'm sorry." After Anderson complies and later orders to sit, the police officer requests additional units to help with a DUI test. The 7 minutes the police officer waited for backup were not released as part of the video footage. The video footage after the 7 minutes shows Anderson standing up again, saying he needs to get some water, that he wanted to make sure people could see him. "You're putting a thing on me," he said, backing away from the police officer as the officer tells him to sit back down. Anderson proceeds to run into the street and crosses a busy intersection as a police officer pursues him on his motorcycle. Two more officers arrive on the scene, blocking some of the surrounding traffic. The police officers tell Anderson to get onto his stomach. When he finally fully complies, the police officers push him onto the ground and attempt to use their body weight to restrain him. One officer appears to put his elbow across Anderson's neck. "Please, please," Anderson yells, adding at one point, "They're trying to George Floyd me." Video footage shows officers threatening to tase Anderson at least 12 times before the police officer finally fires the taser. The officer then activates the taser on Anderson at least 6 consecutive times, at one point holding it against his back while the weapon buzzes for roughly 30 seconds straight. At Wednesday's news conference, the Los Angeles Police Department Chief Moore said only a single taser activation had occurred, elaborating later that he believed several attempts were ineffective. LAPD Police Chief Moore also said the department has no preset limit on the number of times a taser should be used in a situation. Following the tasing, video footage shows the police officers placing Anderson in handcuffs and ankle hobbles. At least 8 police officers appeared to be on the scene by the time Anderson was restrained. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. A cousin of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors was killed by Los Angeles police after he got in a traffic accident and police officers who showed up repeatedly tased and restrained him in the middle of the street, according to body camera footage and his family's account. Video footage from the 3rd of January encounter released on Wednesday, 11th of January, showed that Keenan Anderson, a 31-year-old high school teacher and father, was begging for help as multiple police officers held him down, and at one point said, "They're trying to George Floyd me." One police officer had his elbow on Anderson's neck while he was lying down before another tased him for roughly 30 seconds straight before pausing and tasing him again for 5 more seconds. "My cousin was asking for help and he didn't receive it. He was killed," Patrice Cullors told The Guardian after watching the LAPD video footage. "Nobody deserves to die in fear, panicking and scared for his life. My cousin was scared for his life. He spent the last 10 years witnessing a movement challenging the killing of black people in America. He knew what was at stake and he was trying to protect himself. Nobody was willing to protect him." A police officer who first arrived to the car collision at around 3:30 p.m. at Venice and Lincoln Boulevards found Anderson in the middle of the road saying, "Please help me." The police officer told him to go to the sidewalk and issued commands saying, "Get up against the wall." Anderson held his hands up, responding, "I didn't mean to, I'm sorry." Anderson complied with police officer's commands and sat down on the sidewalk. After a few minutes, he appeared to be concerned with the police officer's behavior, saying, "I want people to see me, and you're putting a thing on me." Eventually, Anderson started to flee, at which point the police officer chased him on his motorcycle, shouting, "Get down to the ground right now, and turn over on your stomach." Anderson repeatedly responded, "Please help me, and they're trying to kill me," as multiple police officers arrived and held him down. One of them placed his elbow and body weight on Anderson's neck while he was lying with his back on the ground. At this point, the police officer standing above him shouted, "Turn over or I'm going to tase you." During the tasing, Anderson repeatedly said, "Help me," as the police officer told him to stop resisting. Paramedics later arrived at the scene and took him to hospital, where, according to the Los Angeles Police Department, he went into cardiac arrest. 4.5 hours later, he died. Patrice Cullors and other advocates have questioned why it was necessary for armed police to show up to a collision. "It was a traffic accident. Instead of treating him like a potential criminal, police should have called the ambulance," said Patrice Cullors. "If there was a policy in which traffic stops were met with unarmed professionals who come to the scene to help with whatever situation has happened, that would have prevented my cousin's death, and that would have prevented so many other deaths as well."
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website,
www.parstoday.com/en.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam,
din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws concerning the different types of water according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahth al-Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahth al-Kharij, he started Bahth al-Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, before the break, I was, just introducing our topic today, and inshallah, in the upcoming episodes, what we're going to focus on or touch on is the different types of water and Islamic laws about them. Would you just, Sheikh Javid, shed some light for our dear audience to tell us, let's say, different types of water, the typology of water, basically, according to the Islamic laws?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, water is either pure or mixed. Mm-hmm. In other words, water, according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, is either adulterated or unadulterated, which these are two different terms which are used interchangeably, like pure is unadulterated and mixed is adulterated. Mm-hmm. So in the Arabic terminology, we use the word ma'i mutlaq and ma'i mudaf. Or, mixed water is the very mudaf water or adulterated water. And anyhow, when it comes to mixed water, it means that water which is obtained from something like melon, like rose, like, watermelon. And the juice that comes from fruit is a kind of water, and it is called adulterated water or mixed water, mm-hmm. which cannot be used under any circumstances to purify things. Even if the water is crystal clear, but since it's mixed with something, like it comes from something like
fruit
watermelon,
juice.
Like fruit and things like that, mm-hmm. it is considered to be al-mudaf, and then it's adulterated water, and it cannot purify anything. Mm-hmm. And the position is the same if water is like mixed with something like too much dust. If there is too much dust and the water is polluted,
muddy,
yes, it's muddy, and to that extent that it's no longer considered to be water in mm-hmm. common view. Mm-hmm. So that water cannot be used for purification.
Like the water in the marshland.
You're right. Now, there are different types of water which we are going to discuss, inshallah, if we make time. And these are different types of water which our audience, our listeners, must understand, I suppose, because they have different rules. And, mm-hmm. of course, in order for an individual to act according to the Sharia law, first of all, one has to understand these different categories of water. Now, when it comes to, for example, the water which is unadulterated or al-ma'ul mutlaq or mm-hmm. the pure water, mm-hmm. there are different types of water. The first one is cool water, okay?
So let me ask you, in fact, this after a short break, if you will. Thank you very much. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions. Allah,
guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. This is the program that deals with, in fact, different Islamic laws about different or miscellaneous subjects. Sheikh Javid, before the break, you were going to talk about core water. What is core water according to Islamic laws?
Well, I was trying to, first of all, mention the different types of water, and then, inshallah, I need to touch on the definition of core water, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, sure.
So we have core water, and then we have qalil water. Qalil means little water, mm-hmm. or some translators have translated qalil water is under core water, and that is to say water which is less than core.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second type of water. Then we have running water, which is, you know, the water which runs into in the river. Yes, this is called running, because running water comes from the water of a spring is considered to be running water.
Mm.
And then we have rain water,
mm-hmm.
that is also a type of water. And then water from a well, or water drawn out of a well,
mm-hmm.
that's also another kind of water. So these are five types of water. And of course, different rules apply to these types of water, inshallah. When it comes to our audience, of course, they should not content themselves with just listening to us. They should, of course, read the Risala,
mm-hmm.
the Islamic laws, or the manual of Islamic laws written by His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, to understand the detail, mm-hmm. and also the different context or the different rules regarding the different waters. Now, when it comes to, of course, to your question, you asked about core water. What is core water?
Yeah, what is core? What does it mean?
Yeah. Water which fills a container,
mm-hmm.
whose length, breadth, and depth are 3.5 spans each, okay? The height, the width, the breadth are 3.5 each.
Right.
Is considered to be core water.
Mm-hmm.
It's core. And this is the explanation, I think, given by all the religious authorities. The scholars are unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
They are all agreed on that any container whose width and breadth and height are 3.5 and it's filled with water,
mm-hmm.
that water is considered to be cool water. It's not little water, it's cool. So the quantity of water, it's the quantity, it's all about the quantity of the water.
Yes.
And of course, based on this definition, the volume of water, you know, according to some scholars, will be, around 42.875 cubic span. You know, this is what given, this is also another definition of core, or the explanation associated with core water.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was just going to ask you about this, because when you said 3.5 spans by everything, like
from different sides.
From different sides or in different dimensions, basically.
Yeah, dimensions, sure.
But the thing is, you know, my span is different from yours. So that would be a matter of differences of a few centimeters.
You are right.
Right? Yeah. Like, because my span is definitely either more or less.
You're right.
Let's say in length or in breadth or right. in height, for example, than yours or anybody else's. So I think that's a better definition of the core, right?
The scholar, or a more the religious precise authorities one. Have always said that that one should refer to to an ordinary person mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, the size of the hand, you know,
the common sense, you mean?
Yeah, common sense. Now look, there are some people with large span, mm-hmm. You know, palms with large hands.
Yes.
And some people there are some people with small and tiny hands. Mm-hmm. So we do not take these people into consideration. We should look at ordinary people, at mm-hmm. normal people with right. normal size of, with normal hands. And in that the hand of a normal individual should be taken into consideration when measuring the quantity and the size of the dimensions of cool water.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. In this episode, we have been trying to explain about different types of water and their Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Thank you very much for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell from me and the rest of the crew. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو
January 9, 2022. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, addressing a group of citizens from the holy city of Qom. In part of his speech delivered on the anniversary of the 1978 uprising in Qom against the then US-backed Pahlavi regime, Ayatollah Khamenei touched on Washington's enmity towards Tehran since the early days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. The leader of the Islamic Revolution then referred to a recent document published in the United States, which showed the Americans were after the fall of the Islamic regime through systematic subversive activities. But what was the document exactly, and how did the Americans intend to topple the fledgling republic? The document the Iranian leader referred to is related to a series of 359 documents dating back to the years between 1979 and 1980. Published by the Office of the Historian and Office of the United States Department of State. In one of these documents, then U.S. President Jimmy Carter considered operation against a foreign country important for American national security.
Carter ordered propagandistic political and economic operations against the Islamic Republic in order to establish what he called a democratic and responsible regime in Iran. It was based on this order that former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was provoked to launch an attack on Iran on September 22, 1980. Carter's order contained contacts with Iranian opposition leaders and concerned influential governments to form a Western-affiliated bloc that would be able to replace the Islamic Republic. The significance of the recently released document is that even Jimmy Carter, who is blamed at home for not being strict enough with Iran, was hell-bent on overthrowing the Islamic Republic. In November 1979, through Executive Order 12170, Carter froze about $8.1 billion in Iranian assets, including bank deposits, gold, and other properties. It also imposed a trade embargo. At the same time, the Americans persuaded ambitious Saddam Hussein to invade Iran, dragging the country into an unwanted, unprovoked war. They imposed an arms embargo on Iran. The fact is, over the past four decades, the U.S. has spared no effort to undermine and, if possible, to topple the Islamic Republic of Iran. As an impeccable foe of the Islamic Revolution, Washington has applied various economic, trade, scientific, and military sanctions against Iran since 1979, while the antagonism towards Tehran has transferred from one administration to the next unrelentingly.
Well, we want to know all the facts. Acting Director McLaughlin said there was no direct connection between Iran and the attacks of September the 11th. We will continue to look and see if the Iranians were involved. I have long expressed my concerns about Iran. After all, it's a totalitarian society.
The second thing that we're going to continue to do is to apply the toughest sanctions and continue to mobilize the international community to make sure that Iran is further and further isolated.
In 2018, then U.S. President Donald Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal, also known as the JCPOA, imposing sanctions on Iran. Influenced by his national security advisor John Bolton and Benjamin Netanyahu, two notorious Iran hawks, Trump applied maximum pressure on the Iranian nation with the aim of the so-called regime change. In the heat of the tension between Washington and Tehran after the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian hero in the fight against terrorism, Trump threatened to strike 52 Iranian cultural sites. In his presidential campaign in 2020, Biden left little doubt concerning the revival of the deal. But in practice, he was no different from his predecessor. His administration first began an after-you game with Iran, laying out a set of unrealistic conditions which Tehran naturally rejected. The aim was to blame Iran, though wrongfully, for not being cooperative, an anti-Iran propaganda.
I have to tell you, recent moves, recent rhetoric, don't give us a lot of cause for optimism. But even though the hour is getting very late, it is not too late for Iran to reverse course and engage meaningfully in an effort to return to mutual compliance with the JCPOA.
Last but not least, the enmity toward Iran is partly due to pressure from powerful interest groups, including the pro-Israel lobby. As Bill Clinton's Middle East envoy, Kenneth Pollack, once said, from a political standpoint, nobody pays a price to be tough on Iran. Whereas Israel is not a party to the NPT or the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons,
And at the same time, the regime is estimated to have up to 400 nuclear warheads. It is Iran and not Israel which is being blamed for threatening the security of the region. In November 2020, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who was regarded as the chief of Iran's nuclear program, was assassinated by Israel. The regime has already assassinated a number of Iranian scientists involved in the country's peaceful nuclear program. All in all, the Americans and their partners have never missed a chance to demonize Iran with the ultimate aim of bringing the nation to its knees, but all to no avail.
قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I am really happy to inform you that some of the students of Sevier International School are here with us in this session, and I really welcome them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome. Ali Nasir.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, good. And Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir.
Salam.
I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salam alaikum, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salam alaikum. So, welcome, brothers. So, today our main topic is Surah An-Nasr, right? On chapter 30 of the Quran Kareem, which got three verses. So, before we start explaining it shortly and doing the tajweed rules, practicing and applying the tajweed rules, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this surah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath wa ra'aita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir innahu kana tawwaba.
That was nice. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. Now I will recite. Make sure Fawad, Hussein, Hassan and Ali Nasir, you repeat after me, right? And we really ask you, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio, please listen and practice with us. Surah An-Nasr on chapter 30. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح.
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح.
ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا.
ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا.
فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره
فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا إنه كان توابا.
أحسن. Thank you so much. So, guys, Surah An-Nasr, which means Surah of the helping, okay? Allah's help, okay? Allah's aid. So, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When Allah Almighty's help comes with victory. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ, O Prophet, you see the people يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, entering Allah's religion in throngs, okay? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, then celebrate the praise of your Lord and plead وَاسْتَغْفِرَهُ, and plead to him for forgiveness, ask him for forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, indeed he is all clement, right? Guys, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, okay? For the interpretations of this surah. I just want to tell you just one message, one sentence, just out of this surah, which is related, okay, to the meaning and kind of the explanation or the information or the teachings in this surah. Guys, when someone doesn't, for example, believe in Allah Almighty, right? Someone who don't care about prayers, who don't care about fasting, who don't care about any teachings in Islam. Okay? Yes? We got these people, yeah? In the society. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. And by on the other side, we got a lot of good people as well who really believe.
Yes.
Who have strong beliefs. So now the question is that why these other people do not, for example, pray, do not, for example, fast, do not care about any teachings of Islam? Totally religions. Okay, why these people are not religious? Why the group first group? Why they don't care about Islam, about religions, about God? The answer is very easy.
Huh? They don't believe about the rewards and the punishments.
That's one of the reasons. Great. Any other reasons?
They think that, for example, like our religion, Islam, mm-hmm. is a hard one. It's hard for them.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Good one.
Hard for
them. So they think like there are a lot of difficulties in Islam.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to be kind of limited. I don't want to wake up early in the morning to do some prayers. I want to just sleep well. I love it. I love my bed. So I don't want to get up. Okay? So this can be one of the reasons. Any other reasons?
They're materialistic.
Yeah, kind of. Good job. Nice answer. So these things are very good. These answers are very good. I love them. Thank you so much. I want to tell you one more thing. Sometimes people do not have the understanding of the truth. Yeah? It might happen. People do not really understand Islam. Come on. If you ask someone who is not a Muslim, if you go to Europe, it has happened. I've watched a lot of interviews, okay? The community, or for example, the society, okay, talks about Islam in a very different way. And the people, a lot of people, okay, they know a lot of different things about Islam, and all are just opposite to the teachings of Islam, to the reality of Islam. Okay? They think like, yeah, Islam, God forbid, it spreads terrorism. Okay? But when they start researching about Islam, they fall in love with Islam. They understand, no, God, the things we were told about Islam are completely wrong. You got to come and search, you'll understand the reality. Okay? Here, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. From this word, I want to tell you that if someone has an understanding of the reality, correct understanding, okay, they will never stay away from religion. They will be so religious. Okay? This is something natural. Yes? When you day by day, when you improve your knowledge about religion, you become more religious. Isn't it that way? It is. All right. Guys, we all have to turn back to Allah Almighty. We have to ask Allah Almighty to help us to, inshallah, guide us, inshallah. Okay? So, refer to the Tafasir book for the information, okay? For the explanation about this surah.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Now the tajweed rules, which are important in this surah, we will mention them. And yeah, you can recite this surah as well in your prayers instead of surah Tawheed. This can be one another option. Okay, you can memorize this surah, you can recite it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Right? So, let's do it everyone. Listen and repeat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح
أحسنت إذا ذال is pronounced correctly you should actually should pronounce it correctly okay with an alif mad here إذا But do not stretch the sound. Ja'a. The mad is?
Wajib.
Because?
Hamza.
Hamza and alif mad both are in the same word, in one word. Ja'a. So, six counts, you gotta pronounce the mad, okay? Stretch it for six counts. Nasrullahi wal fath. Nasrullahi. Ra. After ra, you, on the top of ra, you got a dhamma, right? Nasru. So next word is Allah, the word Allah. Lam in the word Allah had a rule in tajweed. Huh? The rule was this. Who remembers? Can if I you say, have
If there's a kasra sound before the word Allah,
okay,
then the lam in the word is pronounced lightly.
With an a sound. Yes?
Yes.
But if you have
dhamma sound or fatha.
Fatha sound before the word Allah? Yeah, good job, good job. The letter lam in the word Allah or Allahumma is pronounced
heavy.
With an A sound. Heavy, right? Nasrullahi, not Nasrullahi. Nasrullahi wal fath. Right? That's it. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ نُون مُشَدَّد Ra, tafkhim. Heavily you should pronounce it. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ What's the rule here?
قَلْقَلَ
قَلْقَلَ on the letter. Say يَدْخُلُونَ
Yes, on the letter dal.
On the letter dal. يَدْخُلُونَ Echoing sound, yes? A bouncing sound. يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِي في دي long vowels في دين الله لاهي again long vowel في دين الله نلاه نون has a kasra sound the next word is the word Allah Fawad just said the rule if you have a kasra sound before the word Allah the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced lightly right with an a sound في دين الله In the previous example we had, Nasrullahi, lam was pronounced with an A sound. Here, lam is pronounced with an A sound. Nasrullahi fi dinillahi. That's the rule. Let's repeat the rule. If you have a fatha sound or a kasra sound before the word Allah, the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced heavily with an A sound. But if you got a kasra sound before the word Allah, the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced lightly with an a sound. Nasrullahi dinillahi. Look, That's the rule, okay?
Yes.
Afwajan, tanwin fatha. When you stop, tanwin fatha is changed to? Alif mad, not sukun, alif mad. Afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi. Pronunciation of the letter ha, it's important. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir. If you stop, wastaghfir ha. Wastaghfirhu. Because Jim is here. Hassan Jim tells you that you're allowed to
stop.
Stop or
continue.
Continue. Allowed to stop or continue, both ways. Both options you have. So, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Repeat after me, I will recite it. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ
إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح
ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا
ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا
فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا
فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks, brothers and sisters, for being with us in this session. Please stay with us on IRIB English Radio every day, one Quranic session. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasser. See you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.